It's a joy to be here with you. I'm thrilled. I'm amazed with how many of you are here. Now, I'm sure it's because of Miss Debbie and not because of Miss Kay, that's for sure. But I'm glad that you're here. It's a joy. And I have to warm up just a little bit before I start teaching you, although I have some an important lesson I want to share with you. It's one of my favorite lessons. But before I get started, I want to tell you just a little bit about myself. I am a Southern girl, just like you. I grew up in the Deep South. I'm from Savannah, Georgia. Now, I lost the Savannah twang somewhere around the early, when I was in college, and I don't regret that. I love listening to some of you ladies speak. I was listening to Miss Wendy the other day, and I thought, I used to talk like that. But you know, as Southern girls, we can say just about anything we want to say, as long as we add the phrase, bless your heart. You already knew it. You're a true Southern girl. You know, sometimes people think that when you say bless your heart, they think it's a derogatory statement. They're thinking that you're saying something about them that's stupid or dumb or whatever, but that's not necessarily true. You know, you can use the phrase bless your heart in a manner of compassion. Someone's sick and you say, oh, bless your heart. Or your girlfriend has a baby, the sweetest baby you've ever seen, and you say, oh, bless your heart. Unless the baby looks like its daddy. And then you have to add, God love them. Now, Miss Debbie, she's not a Southern girl. Bless your heart. You know, I think we girls need 3 G's in our lives. 3 G's. They are God, girlfriends, and Godiva. Are you my girlfriend? Yeah. This morning I'm going to talk to you about, are you hungry? Are you hungry? How many of you had that wonderful breakfast over there? Woo, they went all out, didn't they? Wow. We're going to study this morning about becoming hungry for God. And isn't that our desire? The prophet Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And ladies, our strength comes from our eating habits. And in this lesson, we're going to learn how to eat spiritually so we can strengthen our joy and our relationship with the Lord. And as I get into this lesson, let's open up with a word of prayer. Our Father, thank you for your love and your goodness and for this opportunity to be here. I pray that you'll remove Kay out of the picture and be seen. Fill us, Lord, today. Through every workshop, through every song, through everything that we do, fill us with exactly the message you want us to have. Each one of us may have a different need. And thank you, Lord, for knowing those needs. And fill us, Lord, with your power and with your words and your wisdom. In Christ's name, amen. Have you ever found yourself working so fervently that you have forgotten to eat? Of course you have. You're women. We multitask all the time. We're busy doing all kinds of things. But let me ask you, what do you do when you're hungry? Well, I'll tell you what you do. You start searching. You go to this cabinet and you look for something. And you go to that cabinet and you look for something. You go to the refrigerator. You're searching and searching and searching. You know, your hunger pains cause everything that you see to look good, doesn't it? When you open this cabinet, you say, oh, chips, gotta have them. Oh, cookies, nuts, yes, grapes, You only eat the grapes to soothe your conscience for all the other things you've eaten. You know, there are many types of eaters among us. There are those who eat everything. No matter what you set in front of her, she'll eat it. She likes it all. That's my mother-in-law. I tell you, she loves everything. And then there are those picky eaters. Do we have any picky eaters? No, don't raise your hand. No, shame on you. And then there are those careful eaters. They're the ones we try not to hate. Yeah, they choose wisely. They check the nutritional values on the package. They watch their proportion sizes. They count the calories. You know, someone needs to tell them calories only matter if you count them. Yeah. But let me ask you, how do you eat on the spiritual realm? How hungry are we for God? If we labeled our spiritual habits, if we labeled how we eat, what would our labels read? And if you're taking notes on your handout, the first thing that would be, are you a bird-like eater? Or maybe a snacker? Do you get just enough to satisfy yourself for the moment? Yeah, you have your devotion, but really, there's no depth to your study for God. Maybe you just take a thought off the internet for the day. Or would your spiritual label read anorexic? You don't take in much spiritually at all. You say, well, you know, I got saved, and I go to church. What more do I need? I'm okay. And you receive very little spiritual nutrition. Or perhaps your label would read buffet eater. Now, when we were coming over here, I saw Golden Corral. Is that what I saw? Was it Golden Corral? Now, you understand the concept of Golden Corral. You go in and you pay one price, and then you start eating. You go up and you grab a plate or four plates, and you start filling it up. If you want three potatoes and two pieces of steak and a piece of fish and some chicken and some green beans and some mashed potatoes and some rolls and some salad and some Jell-O and some, you can have all you want. In fact, once you've eaten all that, you can go back and get more. You can go back as many times as you want. You've paid your price. It doesn't matter. But let me ask you, spiritually, are you a buffet eater? Do you keep going back for more meat of the word? David would be one that I would label a buffet eater. Many times in the Psalms, he shared his hunger for God. And this morning, I would like for you to open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 63. And we're going to look at some of the ways that David revealed his hunger for the Lord. And I know you're still turning, but I'm going to go ahead and start reading in verse 1. David said, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. I will lift my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. David revealed his hunger and his longing for God in these verses. In the very last verse, it shows He said, my soul followeth hard after thee. That's a longing. That's a hungering. However, do you know where David was when he penned this? David was in Judah, a wilderness, a place where vegetation was almost non-existent, water was scarce. From being a shepherd boy out on the lonely, dusty roads, to the many times when he was fleeing for his life from King Saul, David knew what it was like to be physically hungry, but he also knew what it was to be spiritually hungry. He also knew what it was like to hunger and thirst after God, and he learned that that hungering can only be satisfied when he sought God. David began his day, as we see in verse 1, early will I seek thee. He began his day with the Lord. Do we begin our day with Christ? Or do we get up this morning and get so busy doing this, doing that, trying to look gorgeous? It takes me a long time. And we don't start our day with God. But also, have you noticed in the verses, he didn't stop there. You know, when we eat, we don't eat just once a day. We eat 3, 5, 6, 8 times a day physically. Do we eat 3, 5, 6 times spiritually? Are we really hungry for God? J. Hudson Taylor, the missionary to China, said, he was talking of God. This is in the book that was written, Spiritual Secrets. He said, I sought him. I'm sorry, I messed that up. Let me rephrase that. I saw him. I sought him. I had him. I wanted him. Can that be said of your spiritual life? I want you, God. Do we truly hunger after God? Let me help you understand what it means to hunger for something. Let's say a child comes and knocks at your door and she's selling world's finest chocolate. As soon as you see these little delicacies, you know you've been smitten. You have to have one. You're starving for one. You've got to have it. You look at the child and you say, wait right there. I'll be right back. And immediately you go bolting through the house. You go to your purse and you're rummaging through your purse. Well, you rummage through all of your purses. You've got to have money. How many candy bars can I have? You look and you're in the desk. You raid your husband's pants pockets. You look in the couch. You pull the cushions off the couch and you're digging and digging and looking for more money. I need more money. I need more money. You even resort to raiding your children's piggy bank. And then, just as quickly, you go back to the door. You dish out the money. You praise the child for her good works. And you quickly send her on the way so that you can go and retreat to your private place to have your hunger satisfied. Ladies, when was the last time we bolted to grab our Bible and to savor in the sweet word from our Lord? When was the last time we were willing to do whatever we had to do to spend time with God? You know, ladies, I believe we've become a society of snackers. We eat with our eyes and out of habit instead of waiting to be hungry physically. However, on the spiritual realm, I think our churches are filled with the same type of people. Those who go a few times a week just to get their quick fix, but they're not truly hungry to build a deep relationship with the Lord. You're familiar with the Sermon on the Mount, where Christ was sitting there teaching in Matthew chapter 5. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be, say it, filled. What Jesus was saying, until we get to the place where we are hungry and thirsty for God, just as we are for bread and water, then we'll not be satisfied spiritually. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 34:8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." He is good, isn't he? But you'll never experience his sweetness and his fulfillment until you learn to come and dine with him. You know, when you're hungry, you do whatever it takes to eat. You either start searching, or you go in the kitchen and you cook, or even more so, you get dressed, you drive somewhere, you pay money just to be fed. You do whatever it takes. However, when it comes to our spiritual hunger, sometimes we don't bother putting forth much effort at all, do we? We barely take notice that we're starving spiritually. I read a quote once from an elderly preacher. He said, "We must all come to the reality that we have about as much of God as we really want." Ouch. We must all come to the reality that we have about as much of God as we really want. Well, let me ask you, are you 100% satisfied with your spiritual walk? If we were to rate your spiritual hunger, what would your label read? Buffet eater or anorexic? In Matthew 5, Jesus, when he was teaching, he didn't say, "Blessed are those who are filled and have attained righteousness." And neither did he say, "Blessed are those who have accomplished everything in their spiritual walk." No, he said, "Blessed are those who are hunger and thirst after righteousness." That's an ongoing hungering. It's not something you take care of one time. You know, your hunger is revealed by your actions. How many of you have a teenage son? How do you know he's hungry? He's breathing. Not only that, he's busy. Because teenage boys are always hungry. We know of his hunger by his actions. He's in the kitchen. He's searching. He's looking. He's busy. We know that. You know, the same analogy can be used to know if someone's hungry spiritually. If you see someone who's fervent in their prayer and Bible study, they're memorizing scripture, they're active in the ministries of the church, then their spiritual hunger is evidenced by their actions. On the other hand, if you see a person who complains about the length of the sermons, they gripe about the busyness of the church, and they're not willing to serve, and perhaps they even seem to be mad at the world, you know what? Their anorexic spiritual condition's not hard to miss, is it? Ladies, in the Christian life, we never get to the place where we have arrived. We are the super Christian. That never happens. We're to continually grow more, to hunger more for God. That continually growing more and hungering more is called a craving. It's a craving. I want us to look at some comparisons between physical hunger and spiritual hunger. Let's say you have a person who's hungry physically. They haven't eaten in 10 minutes. And they're hungry. And they continue to be hungry. Well, we know how to fix the problem. Get them something to eat, and it goes away, unless it's your teenage son. However, let's say you have a person that has chosen not to eat. Maybe they're fasting for some spiritual reasons. Maybe they have a need and a burden, and they're just giving up food for a little bit. Or maybe they have some physical problems that they need to watch what they eat. Have you ever been on a diet? We all have, so we all can raise our hand, every one of us. And when you're trying not to eat, what do you think of?
Food.
eating, every time you think, I'm not going to have that Snickers bar, what do you want? The Snickers bar. So the first day, it's pretty tough. And the second day, it's grueling. And the third day, oh, it's not so bad. And by the fourth and fifth day, when a person has chosen not to eat, before long, they're not even thinking about food. They're not craving it. I will always crave Snickers. But they're not craving it. You know what? They've seemed to have forgotten about wanting to eat or needing food. And you know, spiritually, there are girls who are not communing with God. They've chosen not to. They're not dining at his table. And yet, they still don't eat. They know they need to. But they don't take in anything. They don't consume it. They don't even realize that they're starving spiritually. You see, ladies, the more a person doesn't eat, the more she loses her spiritual appetite. The longer one is hungry spiritually, the less it becomes necessary for her to think that she even needs to eat. And that's why people who've been Christians a long time, they drop out of serving the Lord. They stop attending church. They find themselves with no desire to open their Bibles and to pray. You see, they've lost their spiritual appetite by neglecting it. They've lost their spiritual appetite by neglecting it. Now, we know how to fix the problem on the physical realm. There's a person who hasn't eaten and they're starving. We know how to fix that. We take them to the Thanksgiving table and they pile their plate high with all of the scrumptious delicacies there. And they eat and they eat and they eat until they're about to burst. They push back from the table. They fold their hand over their bulging stomachs, bellies, and then they are satisfied. They're filled. And the same holds true for someone who's spiritually malnourished. They begin feasting on good spiritual food. They begin spending time in the Word of God. They go to church with a prepared heart and an open ear. And they begin taking in what the Lord has for them. And you know what happens? The more the person eats, the more they experience God's word, you know what happens? They're not satisfied. They're hungrier. The more that they take in and the more that God speaks to them and blesses them and meets their needs, the hungrier they are, the more that they want. You know, feeding the spiritual hunger creates a desire to feast more. On your handout, it says the spiritual hunger is developed out of feeding the desire. Snickers. It is my favorite candy bar. And Snickers has a slogan on their candy bars. And that slogan is satisfy. Satisfies. But ladies, let me tell you, I know a far better satisfaction, and that's filling my soul with the sweet food from God's Word. Psalm 107:9 says, "For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Now you may be thinking, okay, if it's true that the longer one goes without eating spiritually, the more she loses that desire to eat. How do you stop that cycle? Well, let's say you have a person that's has a physical eating disorder, a very serious disorder as anorexia, you would take drastic measures to get that person help. You would do whatever it took to save their life. You would put them on a supervised program. You might have them in a hospital. You might even force them to eat. You're saving their life. Well, ladies, I'm here to tell you, your spiritual life is worth saving also. And it's time we look at ourselves and treat ourselves the same way. We need help. We may need a buddy, a friend, to help supervise us. Hey, Kay, are you reading your Bible? Share with me what you read today. Let's pray together. You may have to force yourself to read the Bible. You say, well, I can't stay awake when I read the Bible. Well, then stand up. Put a piece of chocolate in one hand and the Bible in the other and read the Bible. You may have to force yourself to eat spiritually. And when you do that, you know what will happen? You'll read something, and the fire of God's word will ignite something within you, and it'll rekindle that flame. And that spiritual desire will grow and grow and grow. However, sometimes when we read the Bible, we don't treat it the way we ought to. Now, as girls, we love getting a box of chocolate. We love it. Usually we get it for a special occasion, like Mother's Day, Valentine's. Sometimes they're decorated. The boxes are so beautifully decorated. You know what? We don't care how it's decorated. We like the little saying on the front, but that's not what we care about. What do we care about? What's inside? However, as soon as we open that box, we are faced with a dilemma. Do you know what it is? Where's that caramel? Sometimes they're easy to find. Oh, that one? I know what that one is. Oh. And then at other times we poke. Ew, cream. I might need it later. We save that one only when all the rest are gone and we're desperate. But ladies, feasting from the Word of God, we need to be careful that we don't treat it like a box of chocolates. We look at one and we pull it out and we say, oh, the caramel. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Thank you, Lord. And other times we look at a verse and we pull it out and we say, Psalm 48? I delight to do thy will, O Lord. The Lord's will? He may send me to Africa. I don't like that one. Ladies, be careful not to treat the Word of God like you would treat a box of chocolates. Don't pick and choose. We can't nitpick the Bible. We need to eat all of it. To become spiritually satisfied, we need to learn to eat every word of the Scriptures. We need to learn to eat the sweet as well as the garlic and the leeks. And also, when becoming spiritually satisfied and reading from the Word of God, we need to learn to relish in His Word. When we're reading from the Bible, spending time with God, do we hurry up and get it done like a child eating green peas? Gulp. That's all done. Or instead, do we take our time and savor it? The perfect candy, this is my secret. The perfect candy to eat in church, I know you would never do that, are Bliss chocolate squares. They're wonderful. When I open up a Bliss chocolate square and I'm attentively listening to the pastor, I don't gobble that down. I put that thing in my mouth and I let it sit on my tongue and I let the chocolate melt slowly on my tongue and I swirl it around in my mouth. You know what I'm doing? I'm savoring it. Do you savor in the Word of God? Do you take pleasure in it? Jeremiah said, "Thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me thy joy and rejoicing of my heart." Ladies, are you hungry for God? This is not one lesson I'm going to say, oh, you be careful what you eat. You go on a diet. Instead, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to encourage you, start eating. Start enjoying the Word of God. Ladies, I want you to indulge yourself on the meat of the Word. Savor in His promises and delight in His teaching. And you will find that you'll want God in a greater way than you've ever had Him before. Allow this teacher with the last name of Campbell to say, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Let's pray. Our Father, help us to savor in Your Word. Help us to hunger after You. You've given us so much, and so many times we don't even take the time to enjoy it and to learn from it. And help this simple lesson to be used to help us develop an insatiable appetite for You. In Christ's name, amen.